I put my face in the water and then I felt this almighty crack across my head. And I've now learnt it's known as the thunderclap headache. And it's the worst pain I've ever experienced. It felt like a 6-foot iron pole had been struck across my head diagonally. I knew I was in trouble because my legs were like Bambi on ice. They went underneath me. Thankfully, as I said, my husband was right in front of me. And I noticed that my vision was now blurred, but through my blurred vision, I could see the lifeguard. So we signaled to the lifeguard that we needed some help. I had a subarachnoid hemorrhage, and the subarachnoid area of the brain is the membrane between your skull and your brain. So with that diagnosis, he advised my husband of the diagnosis and said, unfortunately, we do not have the facilities or the staff to able to deal with this. I had one surgery in Jamaica where they put a drain in my head, and that was to relieve the pressure on my brain. And within a day or two, I was conscious again, so that was good. And because they had put the drain in my head and removed the drain, that's why I was able to be airlifted to Florida. So yeah, we spent 4 weeks in Florida.
Hello, Mark Goodyear here. Welcome to Stroke Stories, the podcast that seeks out and hears from stroke survivors. Today, we hear from Eve Alexander Cookhorn from Birmingham in the UK. Eve was 53 when she suffered her stroke.
Before the stroke, and I still do work for this organisation, I work for Global Tech Organisation as a account director. I've been with my husband nearly 9 years. So by the time we got married, it was 8 years. I don't have any children. I do have a stepson who's grown up and he's lovely. And outside of work, really, I would socialise with my friends. So a mocktail or a cocktail, typical sort of thing, and go to the gym as well. So that used to be my sanctuary and still is, but I don't work out as much as I used to, particularly coming up to the wedding. I was working out 3 times a week and lifting quite heavy weights. Now I go about once or twice a week and modify the way how I work out considerably. We were on our honeymoon, so we got married August 2023, and then we were in Jamaica mid-August, and it happened on the second week of our honeymoon, sort of halfway through. So we're living our best life, you know, enjoying the scenery and the weather from the grill. And we had breakfast, was fine, and was just debating what we're going to do for the day. Are we going to hang out at the beach or hang out around one of the pools? And we decided that we would hang out around one of the pools. And I had maybe half a cocktail because alcohol and water don't really mix very well. So like swimming pool water. So I had half a cocktail, but also was drinking a lot of water as well, just to be hydrated. And it was about midday, so it was getting pretty intensely hot. And I decided to cool off in the pool. So my husband was already in the pool and I joined him in the pool. I'm not a strong swimmer. I learned to swim as an adult only about 4 or 5 years ago. And I can do the front crawl pretty well, but I can't do breaststroke. So my husband was teaching me how to do the breaststroke. And he was holding my hands and I was doing sort of the leg action the best that I could. And he suggested to me, well, why don't you put your face in the water like you were taught? So to enable me to get over my fear of water and learn to swim properly, I did have lessons for about a year. So one-to-one lessons. So I put my face in the water and then I felt this almighty crack across my head. And I've now learned it's known as the thunderclap headache. And it's the worst pain I've ever experienced. It felt like a 6 foot iron pole had been struck across my head diagonally. I looked up and I noticed my vision was blurred. And my husband was like really confused and said, "What's going on? What's going on?" And he said, "Well, why don't you try again? Put your face in the water and let's see if we can get you to swim." And it happened again. And the second time it happened, I knew I was in trouble because my legs were like Bambi on ice. They went underneath me. Thankfully, as I said, my husband was right in front of me. And I noticed that my vision was now blurred, but through my blurred vision, I could see the lifeguard. So we signaled to the lifeguard that we needed some help. He wasn't that helpful because he said it doesn't look like a swimming accident, doesn't look like she's drowning. Anyway, my husband managed to escort me to our room, which wasn't too far from the swimming pool, thankfully. And I was in a terrible state. I really couldn't see. My head was pounding. My legs were like Bambi, as I said. And the hospital nurse was called and, went through the usual sort of, asked my name and background and so forth. And I think my husband asked if I wanted to go to hospital, and I said no. And the nurse said to my husband, "Well, look, she doesn't improve in a couple of hours. Give us another call." And then I was very, very ill without going into details, and lost consciousness after that.
Eve was in a critical condition.
6 hours later, I was semi-conscious apparently, because every time my husband asked me, "Do you want me to call the ambulance?" I refused because I was apprehensive of the care that I would get in the Caribbean in comparison to here in the UK with NHS. So eventually, an ambulance was called when I lost consciousness. My husband called the ambulance, and I was transported to a hospital that was about 4 hours drive away. And the ambulances over there were not as well equipped as our ambulances. But thankfully for me, fortunate for me, the neurosurgeon that was on duty that night, which was the only neurosurgeon that was on duty in that hospital, he trained in the UK. He trained in one of Birmingham's local hospitals. So I live in Birmingham and I'm from Birmingham. And he did a CAT scan, and that's when he diagnosed that I had a ruptured aneurysm. So I had a subarachnoid hemorrhage, and the subarachnoid area of the brain is the membrane between your skull and your brain. So with that diagnosis, he advised my husband of the diagnosis and said, "Unfortunately, we do not have the facilities or the staff to able to deal with this. So we'll have to transport your wife to Kingston, and we got to airlift her because she won't make it by the road, because I believe that would have been a 6 hour journey." So my husband authorized for me to be airlifted by helicopter to Kingston. And I was in several hospitals in Kingston for various reasons. So it's different from the UK. With the Caribbean, you are expected to have medical insurance or life assurance or pay cash. We had travel insurance, and they wasn't interested in our travel insurance. So I think they decided to transfer me to a public hospital, which is even less equipped than their private hospitals. I was still in a coma. I was in a coma for nearly a week. And my husband liaised with his brother, who lives in California. I think this is after a couple of days of me being in this hospital in Kingston, and suggested, if my employer has life assurance rather than insurance, life assurance that we can leverage. And that's what we did. So my husband, brother managed to track down my manager, because my husband couldn't remember my manager's name, only his first name. So through a professional social media site, they shared my profile and looked for all the managers with a similar name to what my husband thought my manager's name was. That was a sales manager in London. So even though I live in Birmingham, I work hybrid. So I do go into a London office once or twice a month. And we did that in order to leverage the life assurance. And thankfully, that worked. And my manager responded within a couple of days, and we leveraged my employer's life assurance. And within about 3 4 days after that, I was transferred or airlifted again to a hospital in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Coming up, Eve talks about post-stroke fatigue.
Over the last sort of 3 months, I think that's when the recovery has really accelerated. The neuro fatigue is less. It still happens, but what I've learned to do, when I'm tired, is to rest. Don't fight it. Just listen to your body and rest. I'm back at the gym once or twice a week. I make sure I get enough sleep. I drink lots of water. I go for walks as well.
And the patience of her husband.
He has been very patient, and particularly in the earlier days of my recovery, I think it was quite taxing for him, because I was just so repetitive and not communicating as clearly as I am today. But that's what I would say to a loved one, is just be patient with them, because they are the same person. They're just not well at the moment.
Let's hear how Eve spent 6 weeks out of the UK before being able to return home.
Just to backtrack a little bit, I had one surgery in Jamaica where they put a drain in my head, and that was to relieve the pressure on my brain. And within a day or two, I was conscious again. So that was good. And because they had put the drain in my head and removed the drain, that's why I was able to be airlifted to Florida. So, we spent 4 weeks in Florida. I was in ICU for 8 days. So, I had another surgery. And this is when the neurosurgeon there suggested to have a stent implanted into my brain. That's what happened. And then I was in ICU for 8 days with having a stent or anything planted in your brain can reject it, I suppose. And there was a real concern if I would have vasospasms, which is almost like a secondary bleed in a way, because it's the brain rejecting this object. So initially, I was meant to be in ICU for 5 days, but I was there for eight because of day three following the surgery of putting the stent in. There was concern that I was developing a vasospasm. But thankfully, thank God, I didn't. And I think a few days after that, they decided to see, if I could walk. They knew I could talk. But to see if I could walk. Otherwise, if I couldn't walk very well, then it would be rehabilitation, which would mean that we'd be in Florida even longer. I'm doing well. A lot of people say to me, you don't look like what you've been through. I'm very, very, very fortunate that I'm able to walk and talk. Apart from neuro fatigue, that's the only thing that I suffer from. Physically, I look fine physically. If you hadn't seen me for a year and I hadn't told you that this has happened, you wouldn't believe that I've been unwell. Recovery has been steady, particularly in the first couple of months. Neuro fatigue was really kicking me, and my memory as well wasn't great. The amount of times I would ask my husband, where have I put this or where have I put that? But over the last sort of 3 months, I think that's when the recovery has really accelerated. The neuro fatigue is less. It still happens, but what I've learned to do, when I'm tired, is to rest. Don't fight it. Just listen to your body and rest. I'm back at the gym once or twice a week. I make sure I get enough sleep. I drink lots of water. I go for walks as well. So recovery has been going well, and I'm back at work part-time. So I went back to work mid-January, and my employer have been super supportive, and they have really redesigned my role for me. They've created a new role, so to speak. So I will be doing that for the next 3, 4 months as I continue recovery, and I'm working part-time rather than full-time. So I've been very fortunate and very blessed that my recovery has been good, and I've just learned to rest. I learned to ask questions as well, and sort of created for myself like a toolkit to help my memory. So I do put reminders on my phone or in my calendar as well. And if you forget something, you can't recall something, just advise that person, well, actually, can you just remind me? So recovery for me has been going well.
Eve's biggest piece of advice for other stroke survivors is be kind to yourself.
Do rest. If you can exercise, do try and exercise and drink lots of water, but rest. Try not to worry too much about your progress. Because, different people, whether they're medical people or family or friends, may look at you and say, okay, you won't be able to progress. But, if I were you, to celebrate the small wins, try not to worry. In regards to a loved one of a stroke survivor, they're still the same person. It's just that they may have additional needs. And show them grace and show them patience and show them love. And yes, it's going to be taxing at times. It's not going to be easy. But if you show them that love and that security and that patience, that's going to help in their recovery. And that's something that my husband, I must admit, he has been superb. He has really been very patient with me. I don't know if it's because he's a teacher. That's why he's being patient. But yeah, he has been very patient. And particularly in the earlier days of my recovery, I think it was quite taxing for him because I was just so repetitive and not communicating as clearly as I am today. But that's what I would say to a loved one, is just be patient with them because they are the same person. They're just not well at the moment.
Eve was enjoying her honeymoon in Jamaica when she suffered a serious stroke. She had to be airlifted to hospital in Florida, where she spent weeks recovering before she could return home. But since being back in the UK, she's made a strong recovery, regularly going to the gym and returned to work part-time. Thank you for listening to Stroke Stories. Please do share the podcast with anyone you think it might help. And if you have time, please comment and rate the episode you hear on your preferred podcast provider to help us spread the word. And if you're a stroke survivor with a story to share, please contact us via X or Instagram. Our DMs are always open. The Stroke Stories podcast was produced by Aidan Judd. I'm Mark Goodyear. Thank you for listening.